Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
Thank you, Jenny. Well, there's some words that we can read from Scripture that make me just want to say, okay, well, you've heard enough. That's enough to chew on and be filled by for the week, for sure. But I do want to remind all of us that as we turn our hearts to the passage from Daniel this morning, that our altars are always open. And that's not just something we say, but it's something we mean, that at any time of any service or sermon or thing happening in here, and even if these physical altars aren't here, whatever reason, whether it's a Christmas dinner or whatever, this is a place where you can come forward to meet with God in a way that, yes, you can meet with God in all places at all times. And yet there is something about kneeling at the altar that joins what God's people have done for millennia. And it can be a powerful place to come and meet with God in a way that it says, I want to meet with God in a new way. And as we turn our hearts to the passage from Daniel, we're going to be examining three special ways that I believe God is revealing his heart to us and for us this morning. And if any of these ways if they pull on your heart at any point, feel free to come forward. Just have time with God or where you are. God is with us this morning. We've invited the Spirit to be here in our midst, and he is here for his purposes. And so I just look forward to what he has for us this morning. We're turning into the final passages of our exploration through the book of Daniel. Last week, Pastor Sean helped us open up chapter 10. And chapter 10 is all about preparing us for this word that we're going to get to in chapter 11. But this morning, we're not going to get to that specific word. We're still in chapter 10, learning about these moments of God inviting Daniel to even be aware that there is a word for God's people and for Daniel, especially in these moments. And so last week we were introduced to this angelic being that has come to meet with Daniel. Now remember, Daniel is not a young boy. Daniel's not a teenager. Daniel is probably in his mid-80s. I'm not going to have anybody raise their hands, but I know we have all generations represented here this morning. No matter what age you are at, there is a new word and a new way of healing that God desires for you, even this morning. And so please, no matter what you've expected from God today, expect beyond what you may expect, if that makes sense, right? Expect for God to do something beyond what you may have came here prepared to receive from God. Anyways, there's an angelic being that meets with Daniel. I believe this is Gabriel. We've seen Gabriel in chapter 8. We've seen Gabriel in chapter 9. Here in chapter 10, they don't say, hi, this is Gabriel. But we have some kind of hints that this is the kind of thing that Gabriel would be saying to Daniel. We do know that there are people, like Pastor Sean mentioned last week, that see perhaps that this could be a in the flesh Jesus, right? An image of God, the Son, who has come to meet with Daniel. And I'm not even going to debate with people who want to believe that, because I believe that anything that is from God reflects what we see God revealing about himself. And as the kids are saying these days, I don't know if I'm saying this right or not, but, oh, sorry, I missed the title slide. There you go. But the phrase, are we giving Jesus, right? I believe that this being, this angelic being, whoever it is giving Jesus. That means, you can ask a young person to tell you the etymology of this, but it means reflecting, right? Or being reflective of something. I'd give you an example of how to use it, but I'd probably use it wrong anyways. But just to ask, are we the kind of people who are giving Jesus? You see people who will read this passage in Daniel and compare it to a passage in Revelation that sounds just like Jesus being revealed fully. And I think that's because anytime something comes from God, it should reflect the full goodness of God we see revealed in Jesus. The question for us then as his church, as it says on the screen, is for us to ask ourselves, are we giving Jesus? When we declare to the world, I am a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, I belong to this church, I belong to this movement of people who our lives have been so impacted by the good news that God's revealed in Jesus and accomplished in Jesus, that it's become my identity, it's become who I am to live this way in a way that reflects the goodness and the holiness and the love and the grace and the mercy that I have experienced in God. Are we reflecting that into our world? Not just as individuals, but also as families, as the church local, as the church, right, international, global. Are we giving Jesus? We're reflecting the goodness found in God, revealed in Jesus. And so we see in my notes it says Dan just because it's shorter. Daniel. We see Daniel experiencing the glory of God in the form of this man who I'm going to refer to as Gabriel, okay, just because it's easier to give him a name as we move forward together. And as Daniel is having this experience with Gabriel, nobody else around him could see it. And yet they knew something holy, something kind of scary, something otherly was happening in this moment. And it was enough that they fled the scene. They're like, okay, this is between you and God. I'm out of here. And they fled. And so Daniel has this moment with God. And the first words, I'd be interested to know what they were. We don't actually have the first words of this angelic being to Daniel, because he says, when he first started speaking, all I could do was put my face down to the ground. We're not sure what those first words actually were. Maybe they're repeated next, but maybe it was something really neat. I don't know. We'll find out someday. So this visitor speaks finally in our passage today, and we pick up at Daniel chapter 10, starting at verse 11. I'm going to ask I'll ask Becky to flip through the slides as I read. But start at verse 11 with me. He, this is the angelic being, Gabriel, for our purposes. He said to me, Daniel, greatly beloved, pay attention to the words that I'm going to speak to you. Stand on your feet, for I have now been sent to you. So while he was speaking this word to me, I stood up trembling. He said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard. But I have come because of your words, and I have become because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me 21 days. So Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I left him there with the prince of the kingdom of Persia. And have come to help you understand what is to happen to your people at the end of days. For there is a further vision for those days. While he was speaking these words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one in human form touched my lips, and I opened my mouth to speak, and said to the one who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, such pains have come upon me that I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For I am exhausted. No strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. Again, one in human form touched me and strengthened me. He said, do not fear, greatly beloved. You are safe. Be strong and courageous. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? Now I must return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I am through with him, the prince of Greece will come. But I am to tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is no one with me who contends against these princes except Michael, your prince. As for me, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to support and strengthen him." Father, we are thankful for your word this morning. We're thankful for all the ways you reveal yourself to us and with us and through us. And we ask that you would open your word to our hearts again and open our hearts to your word for your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are here at the final chapters of the book of Daniel, and there are so many things that we could jump into, the details and the things that have been debated and translated and retranslated in these verses are really fun for us to go down rabbit holes of. If you were in Shelley's class, you may have gone down some of those rabbit holes. If you ever want to go out for lunch or coffee, it's fun to explore some of those and get stuck in them. But it's a good reminder for us this morning that the sermon, right, this moment in a worship service is not primarily about teaching or educating, right? Hopefully you gain something once in a while because I do study a little bit. But what I hope and what we hope to accomplish together during this time together is literally, I mean, when we have communion, we bring a literal table up here to serve communion from. That table is always here. Even in moments where we don't serve communion, this is the table that we've come to together, the table of his living word, and that's what we're feasting from this morning. And it's not going to be the details that we figure out that allow us to feast on his word. It's the heart of God that's revealed in his word and the spirit that comes to guide us into the work that God has for us and the word that's alive, that desires to do something in us and for us and through us. Anyways, we're feasting on that word together. We're focusing on the heart of God, even in these moments in Daniel. And so I believe that as our sermon title this morning says, Unseen Forces, months ago, as we were looking at the different passages throughout Daniel we got to preach from, I remember looking at this one and thinking, obviously, they're talking about these unseen princes, and we got to talk about that. And so I'm just going to call it Unseen Forces, and I'm excited to get into that. And then I began preparing for this message specifically and realized, we're going to get to that. We're going to talk about some of those unseen princes because that's neat and important for us to talk about. But ultimately, I believe this morning that the unseen forces that God is inviting us to pay attention to in this passage are the unseen forces of God. The unseen forces of God and his reality, which became visible to Daniel and through Daniel and now available and visible to us and desiring to be made visible through us, through our lives and through our community for the sake of a world. Just as a side note and a reminder, if you're here this morning and you believe in Jesus, what you believe in is this unseen realm that is not just like some spiritual realm. It's an unseen realm that contains something physical, someone physical, the resurrected Jesus. Right? We believe that Jesus was resurrected in a physical being. His physical self was resurrected. He showed his scars to his disciples. And then he went in his physically resurrected self to be where the Father is fully. And so there's an unseen realm of God that is not way out there, right? We've explored space. We would have found something. Maybe not. I mean, there's that. Okay, but we believe there is an unseen realm where Jesus is with the Father fully. And it's a mystery. We can talk about it. We can imagine it. We can write poetry about it, right, Milo? He can tell you some really good poetry that can remind you in that direction. There's this unseen dimension of God in his realm that is even more real than our experience of reality. Now, how do we know that? Well, we believe that God is there fully, right? God, who has created our reality, exists in this reality that we're talking about this morning in a way that is more full than he is here. Here in these moments, right? There's this veil between our reality and the fullness of God and his reality. Which is not to say this reality doesn't matter. Don't misunderstand me. Jesus came and redeemed our existence because this reality matters so much to him. Anyways, it all sounds like science fiction when we start dissecting it this much, but it's neat to look at. But I believe that God wants us to look kind of at a bird's eye view of today's passage. We know that Daniel felt the need for God to do something on behalf of God's people. They'd been living in Babylon, right? Living in exile for a little over a generation now, almost. Daniel was taken as a young teenager into Babylon, and here he is still living in Babylon as the transition of power is happening, as Babylon has been conquered by this new power. And he's just crying out for God, desperate for God to do something to restore his people. He sees the suffering that they've gone through. He knows the injustices that exist in the world, and he's crying out for God to do something, anything. We hear the heart of God, we hear the heart of Daniel in the fact that he was fasting and praying and just calling out to God. And I believe that there are some of us, if not all of us here this morning, who see the things happening in our world today, and we know that kind of desperation. That look at the headlines, and even if you have the strength to read through the actual articles this week, you see, God, we need you to come and do something. God, there is so much happening in our world, and it may be hitting close to home for some of us as well, beyond the headlines. There is suffering in our world. There are injustices happening in our world. There are people who treat other people not like people. Does that make sense? This is why I used to preach word for word on manuscript, right? Now you get my everything. There are all kinds of things that make us want to cry out for God. Ways that the things happening in our world reveal the tensions that we exist within. The hearts that have grown calloused or cold or hardened. The heart of God that is unseen so often desires to be seen. This is the whole story of this book, is God saying, you may not see it, but I want you to see it. I want you to know me. And I want you to not just know about me. I want you to know me, to experience my heart, and to be an extension of that experience for the sake of the world, because I can heal, because I intend to heal and breathe new life. And I believe that there are three touches in particular that we're going to look at in this passage, three ways that God reveals his heart through touching Daniel, through this divine visitor. And I want us to ask ourselves this morning, how might I need God's touch to impact my life this morning? And just consider that question for a moment. Maybe that's somewhere in your mind that is coming to mind, something that God has been whispering to you or just tugging on you, and he's saying, today's the day. Today's the day that I'm going to respond to you in a way that you've been waiting for me to respond. Whether it's because God chooses to do something new or because this is the day that you're actually going to believe that God desires to do that thing. I believe that God wants to impact our lives this morning. It may be that there's a place of healing that needs to happen, or a place where wholeness, God's wholeness wants to come in our life and for our life. Maybe there's a wound that you're still feeling the pain of that God says, I want to bring a step of healing here. Or maybe just our chains, right? The things that we feel kind of bound by that God wants to bring freedom to. And God wants us to align ourselves with Daniel for a moment and just ask, what are we feeling overwhelmed by? What are we feeling kind of weighed down by? What makes us just cry out to God because we see this happening in our world, or because we see this happening in ourselves or in our homes? What brings you into the presence of God with great need this morning? I believe as we think about these things and as we bring these things into God's presence, there are three ways that his heart is revealed in today's passage that I want us to focus on. The first one is this, that Daniel is able to stand. Daniel was fasting and mourning and praying, and he was just exhausted by this, just coming to God desperately in prayer. He was already feeling weakened by just living in a way that just like if we had come before God at the end of this Lent season we're about to start. But a little more intense, because most of us don't experience this kind of fasting and praying as Daniel was, as someone in his mid-80s even, right? Feeling exhausted, feeling spent as he's been crying out for God. And the angel comes, right? This divine visitor comes to Daniel, and he's overwhelmed. His strength is gone. He actually falls unconscious. And I think that some of us know what this feels like, to be coming before God and we are just spent. We don't have a whole lot left as we come into God's presence. It may be even that we're here this morning and we're not actually here this morning because our minds or our hearts are in other places thinking about the things that are being just laid on our shoulders. And God is saying, I see you. I know what it's like to approach someone who is exhausted. And I know what it's like to stir someone who's in need of strengthening. You know, the first thing that happens as the touch comes is that it stirs Daniel with strength. Verse 10, right, which is right before our passage, we saw Daniel on his hands and his knees, just get up to his hands and knees from just being laid out completely on the ground. And he begins to experiment with his capability, just looking physically, right? He's not standing yet. He's on his hands and his knees. He's beginning to stir because of this touch from God. He's received strength. Not to go too deep into nerdy lands, but as those from a Wesleyan Armenian heritage, our theology proclaims that it's God who reaches out to us first. Before we even know to reach out to God, God stirs something in us that says, maybe there's something bigger than what I'm aware of. Maybe there's a need that I don't even realize I have, and God stirs us in the direction of receiving what he's done for us, because it's this prevenient grace, this preventing grace of God that reaches out to us and touches us. And as God touches us, we begin to experiment with our reality. We begin to experiment with hope. We begin to live as people who say, maybe there is something beyond what I've been shown so far. Maybe I can become aware of a need that's deeper, and there's someone who can meet that need. But God doesn't leave us there, thankfully, because the word of God that comes after the touch of God for Daniel enables him and commands him, in this case, to stand. Right? He sees Daniel on his hands and knees, and it's almost like, I mean, in our case, just looking at what's happening here, it's like God realizes Daniel is living within false limitations. Daniel doesn't quite have the confidence that he's able to do what he can actually do. And so the angel needs to speak to him and command him to stand, to realize what he's capable of, because the touch of God has arrived for him through this visit. And I wonder if there are some of us living within false limitations because of what we've experienced so far, or because the weight has seemed so heavy on us so far. God needs Daniel to be able to hear this word. And it says this word for the future, right? I mean, some of our translations say for the end of days, but this is the same word from Jeremiah 29:11 saying, I have a hope and a future for you, right? So this is him saying, there's a word for what's going to happen that I need to bring to you, but first you got to be ready to receive this word. So I need you to realize what you're capable of. I need you to stand. And he commands Daniel to stand. I don't know what it is for some of us this morning who are here. We've felt the weight of what we've been living under. And God wants to invite you and I to take that next step from crawling to someone who's standing, Maybe it's a step of faith that God is preparing you for or inviting you to consider. Maybe there's a sin that you've been giving into that God is saying, okay, now, finally, I need you to stand in the freedom I've provided for you from that sin. Maybe there's an addiction or a wound that hasn't been. There's something that God desires for you that looks like moving from on your hands and knees to standing fully, and God is inviting you to consider and to imagine with His Spirit, what would it look like for you to respond to the angel's command to stand in the victory that He has already provided for you? To hear from the Word of God this morning that you were not meant to crawl on your hands and knees. To be reminded, as Daniel was in that moment, that Jesus, well, he wasn't quite reminded of Jesus, right? But we know this truth now. Jesus has died and was resurrected and has sent His Holy Spirit for us this morning that we might stand in His victory. Now, before we get into touch number two, I want to point out something really quick. That we're at verse 13 here. Gabriel says some really interesting things. One of those starts at verse 13. He says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me 21 days. So Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I left him there with the prince of the kingdom of Persia," etc., etc., right? There's something going on here beyond the realm that we're used to hearing about in Scripture. We know that in the ancient Near East, they had this concept, they were familiar with it. They were patron deities that existed for nations and for people groups. For example, we have Marduk was the protector of Babylon, according to their theologies and their belief systems. We also know that according to Scripture and tradition, that Michael was the protector of Israel. We see that happening in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, and we see it inferred throughout Scripture that there is this angelic presence behind what we're able to see. We're not sure whether the ancient Near East influenced kind of the way we talked about God and His doings, or whether God in the reality, the real reality behind all things, was revealed in small ways even to other cultures so that their theologies developed in ways that were very similar to the realities God and His beings were existing behind the scenes. But whether one direction or the other, we know Scripture is what we're going off of as those who have received the Word of God together. And Scripture contains enough truth for us to know about these realms in the ways that God desires for us to know about. And so I want to be honest. I want to be, this is important for us to recognize that when we are reading, it comes up, there we go. When we're reading Scripture to understand unseen forces, there's something that's really important for us to do and to be aware of as we move forward with these things. That there is a before Jesus' resurrection and there is a after Jesus' resurrection. We believe that what happened in Jesus was significant enough to transform reality as we know it and reality as we don't yet know it. It was a significant moment in history of all existence and even the history of who God is and what God is doing both in our vision and behind and beyond our vision. I want to read a couple passages. The first one I want to read to you is from Revelation. Chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. There, it's there on your screen. I should just read the screen. Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. Let me read this to you. It says, "The great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven proclaiming, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God, but they have conquered. They've conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they did not cling to life even in the face of death.'" And then I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. says this about Jesus, right? This is why it matters so much that we pay attention to reading about the spiritual forces of the unseen realms before Jesus and after Jesus' resurrection. Ephesians 1, verse 20 and 21 say, God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Sorry, I read a bit beyond there, but it's good stuff. It's important for us to recognize as we read in Scripture, if you're trying to figure out how do things work in the unseen realms, right? There's a Jesus who is now enthroned. There are forces that have been dealt with finally and fully already that have transformed the unseen realm. So that now I believe that even though it talks about these forces in Daniel chapter 10, right, these are all happening before the resurrection of Jesus. I do not believe there is any longer an unseen force of God struggling in battle with unseen forces of evil. I just don't have that in Scripture. Because now every authority can call on Jesus. Whether human, whether unseen, every realm has the ability to call on Jesus, and there is no battle needed. That's what my Bible tells me, at least. There's no battle needed beyond what has already taken place. Because we have this victory that happens, that has happened in Jesus. And the same is for us, right? There's no battle needed. When we call on Jesus, victory is ours. That's it. Every time. We have this passage in Ephesians chapter 6 that describes the armor of God. But the purpose of describing the armor of God is that we would know it's not about active combat. It's about readiness to stand, knowing that God literally is our armor. And standing in that victory, standing in the truth of that, standing in the presence of his victory, ready for whatever may come. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, thank you. All right, so we're together on this. So touch number two, we're going to keep going now. Daniel is touched again, and this time he's able to confess. As Gabriel speaks, Daniel's natural response is just to put his face down and to be speechless. And then God sees what's happening in this moment, and through the messenger that he sent, he touches Daniel's lips. Why? Because he wants Daniel to give praises to God? No. Because he wants to hear him say things about God? No. He's touching Daniel's lips in these moments. Why? Because he's healing and giving strength to Daniel so that he can know, how are you doing? How are you doing in the midst of all this that's going on, Daniel? You've been sharing your heart, and you've been sharing you're just passionately crying out on behalf of Israel. And I get that, and I get your heart for the people of Israel. But how are you doing? How is it with your soul? We have this question that we ask each other. If you're in a discipleship band, hopefully you're getting asked this question on a regular basis. If you're not in a discipleship band yet, please consider one. This is another advertisement. You can go to this website. You can ask us, ask anybody here who's in one. We would love to tell you and to connect you in a group. In these groups, we ask ourselves, we get asked by others, how is it with your soul? Because this is a question God asks of Daniel, right? This is a question we're able to know one another in ways beyond what our world is asking of each other. Because part of the healing process of God in our midst is that we would be those who are known and loved fully. And so God asks Daniel, how are you doing? How is it with your soul? By touching his lips. And by being touched, it allows Daniel to confess. to tell God how he's actually doing, to tell God about this weight that has been weighing on him and about how even the presence of God in this visitor is impacting him in that moment. It's a good question for us. Are we allowing ourselves to be touched by God in these ways? Are we allowing God to open our lips and to confess? Now, you may not be ready yet to confess to another human being, because that is a difficult thing. It's why we do it, honestly, because it's so difficult. But the first step is just being willing to confess to God, this is the state of my soul. And remember, when I say soul, it's not just a spiritual thing. It's mind, body, soul, relationships, everything about who you are. How are you doing? Because God desires us to confess to him how we're doing. And that power of confessing, that power of saying, this is how I'm showing up in your presence this morning, invites God to do something in Daniel's life that is powerful. Because Daniel humbles himself and to open up completely to God and say, this is who I am as I come into your presence today. How often do we confess to God how we are showing up in his presence? Do we recognize the healing that is possible when we're willing to do that? That as Daniel confesses to God, it opens up a step of healing, right? It opens up a next step of what God is able to do in Daniel and through Daniel and for Daniel. Because we don't believe, We believe as God's people who believe God has revealed himself in Jesus, that God desires healing. Amen? We've talked about that here. We'll do it over and over again because God desires healing. Salvation means creation healed. But often we look at that last step of the healing and say, that is what healing looks like. And God says, yeah, but that may be the end result of healing, but healing is this longer journey, and often it begins with, are you willing to confess? Are you willing to say, this is who I am in your presence this morning, God? This is the life that I'm experiencing. This is the burden that I'm carrying. This is what things are in my life. And because of that confession, it invites God to do so much more. Sorry, that was the next one. Healing begins often with a confession of our needs. So God touches Daniel once again, and there's this open confession to God. And then finally, touch number three comes. And Daniel is strengthened with courage. But notice that, remember, this is Daniel as someone who is in his mid-80s. Daniel isn't given superpowers here, right? This isn't a Samson type moment. He's not given a staff that can become a snake and become a staff again. He's not given a vision of how he's going to transform the world. But he's given courage. In verses 16 and 17, he's confessing to God and he says, God, I've lost my strength. I have no strength left in me. He's just confessing to how exhausted he is in the presence of God, a God who wants to hear his confession. It's kind of funny to point out that the word used there is for physical strength. The description of the Hebrew word koa there is actually comes from a lizard, right? Because they have hard scales. And so actually it can be translated that I have no lizard left in me, which I giggled a little bit when I first read that. We translate it as strength because that makes more sense. We get it, all right? But it's just funny. But then verse 18 comes. 16 and 17, when Daniel confesses the lack of strength, it's about this physical strength. And then verse 18 comes, and everything after verse 18 is this word hazak. And this word hazak is about boldness. It's about encouragement. It's not a physical strengthening. It's better than that. It's a response to Daniel's confession. It's God showing that he desires to strengthen us beyond the physical, because the physical is temporary. We know that. God desires to strengthen, to encourage, to embolden Daniel, right? And he says it in four different ways. that I believe are important for us to hear this morning. And I want you to listen to these words because I believe God wants to strengthen each of us this morning. If the first two touches so far didn't hit you in a way that like, oh man, I needed that touch, listen to this one because I believe we all need to hear from this one in a certain way. God desires to strengthen us, to encourage us. And the first thing he says is, don't be afraid. And this is the same word for fear that Adam and Eve, they felt this fear in the garden after they sinned. There was a sense of shame. There was a sense of disconnection from God being their source of peace. And God is saying to Daniel in this moment, and he's saying it to you and I, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid in my presence. Don't be afraid of anything in this world, of course, but don't be afraid in the presence of God. Don't let my holiness be something that scares you. You are invited in to be as close to me as anyone because of my love for you. Don't be afraid. Number two, because you are beloved. As Pastor Sean pointed out last week, this word is not just like this lovey-dovey. I mean, Valentine's is coming up, so that's on our minds some of this in these moments of the year. But this word for love is this delight that God has in us, that God is jealous for you. God is just wants to be near you and with you. He covets time with you. Do you feel pursued by a God who says, I'm just so excited every time I get a chance to spend a moment with you? Will you hear that from God this morning? Don't be afraid. You are beloved. And the third way that it comes is that you are safe. He's saying this to Daniel, still living in exile, still he's about to get a word, and you'll hear about it next week, that is not always that comforting of a word. And yet he's saying, you are safe. And the word here for safe isn't just like safety, like you've got a guard nearby. This is the word shalom. You are not only safe, but you can be fruitful where you are. You may not think that's possible, but there is this aspect of being fruitful that God is saying, even in exile, even before receiving everything you're praying for, God is saying, you have shalom. There is this ability to exist in fruitfulness with God. Don't wait for what you already have right now. Live with God's presence and be fruitful for the purposes of God. And finally, he says, be strong and courageous. And it's that same word twice in a row, this hazak hazak, which means like the perfection of this thing, right? Be the perfection of courage, not a physical strengthening, but emboldening, a hope filling by God. Be someone who's hopeful. Be someone who's encouraged, even in the midst of what you're experiencing. And we look at why Daniel was given this courage. Why was Daniel strengthened in these ways? He was received, this courage was received so that he can hear the word that's about to be spoken to him. This word that the unseen forces were trying to prevent Daniel from hearing. And just like we talked about already this morning, any forces that do not want you to hear the word that God has for you no longer have power to keep you from hearing it. Jesus has defeated all of those forces. There's no longer a battle happening to decide whether or not you can receive the word of God this morning. And the word of God is here, and his spirit is here, and he desires you to hear of his love for you, of his hope for you, of his, even in the midst of whatever difficult circumstances you're living in, just like Daniel, receive his word this morning for his purposes. And remember that his word may not be that you're going to avoid suffering, just like Pastor Sean will share us next week. Sorry, spoiler alert. But it's that even if tomorrow or the next week contain more suffering, God is with us. There is no waiting for the thing that you need from God, because it's here with you. God has given you what is needed, and he wants to encourage you the way that he encouraged Daniel in these passages by touching you this morning. Will you allow yourself to be touched in the presence and by the power of God this morning? We're going to close with the song, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. It's a reminder for us. I want you to just envision this shepherd that comes to his sheep and just sees you, whatever condition you're in, that we have this loving and good shepherd that's here to lead us and to guide us and to protect us and to keep us as his flock. As you sing in response to his word this morning, know that we're invited to look toward him in all the ways that a sheep look to their shepherd. Allow his spirit to come and allow his spirit to touch you this morning. Let's stand as we respond in worship.